That's a good start. Go ahead and, if you will, open your bulletins or turn in your Bibles. We're going to read from 1 John chapter 5 this morning. Words of assurance, words of challenge. I'm going to ask Brother Jim Lyle. Had a great day Friday morning. If he'll come to give us a quick update on that and then open us in prayer here in just a moment. 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 14. The bold ones, of course, you'll respond in reading with those and read together. But I'll begin in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And this is the confidence. It's a good word. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Good promise for this morning. Brother Jim Lyle, you'll begin us services. Thank you, sir.
Well, we had a great day on Friday. It's a senior program, and we had a good day, good food, good fun, good fellowship. And we missed some of you. We didn't make our goal of 90, but we're working on it for next time. Second week of May will be our next one. That's May the 13th, because we have the Puffers coming. And I play 7 different instruments. I mean, it's just a tremendous show. Our show is really good. So I pray you'll be there and help us and tell somebody about this program. Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for loving us who are very, very unlovable. And we thank you, Lord, for saving us and bringing us to this church. And God, I pray for every person here today, Lord, that the Spirit of God would speak to their hearts and the Word of God through the preacher, the man of God. And I pray, Lord, that you save some soul today. And Lord, may you stir the saints of God, that they would get out off their seat and on the feet and go out and tell people about Jesus. And we'll thank you for it in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jim. Would you pick up on that? Lord, help us get off our seat and on our feet. Amen. Well, let's do that. 746. 746. Let's stand together as we sing, He Keeps Me Singing.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and slow. Hear not, I am with thee. Be still. In all of my seven
have an awful lot of choir singers out here, because you sound so good. Really, let's sing the last verse. Soon he's coming back to welcome me. Sing it now.
Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I
that chorus one more time. And if you know that obligato, that upper part, Jesus, Jesus. If you know that, you just make someone in front of you turn around and look at you. Just smile at them. Just smile at them. Okay, here we go. On the chorus one more time. You don't need your books. Here we go. Sing it together.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
For the next music to come up, we have got a lot of announcements to cover here in a moment. But the first thing we need to announce is that we have guests with us here this morning. I'm sure that we do. I've seen some folks. And so what we want you to know, first of all, is that we're thrilled that you're here. We're thrilled everybody's here. Glad to have everyone with us. But we're especially glad that our guests are here. If you haven't been in a long time, or maybe you've not been to the home place at all, we'd like for you to do something for us, if you will, please. Now, you've already done something for us by being here this morning. But if you will, if you take that bulletin, and if you didn't get one of our bulletins, we want to get one in your hand. So if you didn't get one, this is anybody, and you'd like to have one, just raise your hand. Our ushers are coming around. Just keep your hand up until they get one into your hand. Just keep it up. They'll get one to you. And right on the outside flap, okay, as you open it up, there's another little flap that opens up beside it that says, Welcome Visitors. If you'll simply tear that off, fill that out, and then put it into the offering plate, we'd have a record of your visit, and that would be great. But there's something even better we'd like for you to do. We'd like for you, if you will, to bring that after the service to a little guest reception area that we have right out of the back door, and turn to the right, and there will be a little modified room. As you see in that room, everything's modified back there, but a little modified room. But it's got some refreshments in it. It's got some gifts that we'd like to send with you. And the staff would like to get a chance to meet you, talk with you, find out how you came to know about the home place. And if you have any questions, you'd be welcome to ask us as well. We'd be thrilled to meet you in there. So right after the service, just bring that with you. And if you brought the guests with you, come on in with them and introduce them to us, if you will, please. Something else we want you to do with that little slip of paper. We've got that information site. If you'll do this, you're going to need to scratch out Welcome Visitors, because we need to update something in our records. We want to make sure that we've got everything correct for our prayer list and everything else. Those of you that have family, maybe it's kids, grandkids, so on and so forth, that are in the military and serving overseas or serving elsewhere from here, we'd like to have a record and an updated record of that. That whatever you can give us, we understand you may not be able to give us everything, or may not even understand or be able to give us all that you do know about it, but we'd like to make sure our records are correct. And also, we'd like to have an email address. If there's an email address that we could have for a contact, that way, when we have special events, God and Country Day, things like that, that we're going to live stream, and we want to make sure as many people as possible know about it. That way we can make sure they get the email blast that lets them know about that. They can click the link, and if they have opportunity, they can watch the service along with you. We would love to be able to do that. So if you have a child, a grandchild, somebody close in your family that's serving overseas or elsewhere from here in the military, please just scratch out the top there and maybe put military family, something like that, so we clearly understand what we're looking at when we get this sheet of paper, and then drop that in the offering. If you'll do that for us, even if you say, well, you've got all the information correct, we might not. You'd be surprised. Sometimes it gets outdated quickly, and our records are old. So if you will, update that for us, please. Coming up in April, of course, the concert, Miss Becky Reynolds. Make sure that you're planning on April the 22nd. That's not next month. That's this month. We've already changed. This month, April the 22nd. Make sure you're there Friday night. We'll have a great time. She's ready to go. She doesn't need 3 weeks to get ready. She was ready whenever we printed it wrong in the bulletin a couple of weeks ago. And then we got some calls here at the church. People said, are you having it on that Tuesday night? She said, I'll do it. We'll go ahead and do it. We'll get it over with. She's ready to go. But, of course, she'll polish it up. And I'm sure she'll add some things, and some extra special things over the next few weeks. I'm putting her under the gun and just messing with her, because she's my mom and she loves me no matter what. So I'm just doing that right now. I'm looking forward to this, and I know you are too. So be here on Friday night. Next thing, this is mentioned in your bulletin, but I've got some extra information about it. Central Florida Pregnancy Center Walk for Life is on April the 30th, April the 30th. And I've got extra information about it up here. If you'd like to know more, let me know. But there is someone you can contact, of course, Miss Sandy Carpinko. Is Miss Sandy here? I don't see her this morning. She's She's in the choir. She's here this morning. So you can see Miss Sandy Karpinko. She's going to know a lot about that. There's also a phone number listed there that you can contact Midge. Okay? You can call Midge and she'll let you know more about that. That phone number's right there in your bulletin. So love to have your participation in this. My wife is involved over there counseling folks getting saved, able to lead folks to the Lord and seeing young women that are choosing life for the unborn babies. And we're thrilled every time a victory like that occurs. And so that'd be a great thing to be involved with as well. Brother Jim Westmoreland, the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry, has a annual benefit banquet coming up on Friday, April the 8th. So that one is coming quickly. That's coming on us quickly. So make sure this Friday, if you'd like to support the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry, fantastic ministry that several are involved in. Brother Jim Westmoreland will be the contact there. He's not here this morning. He's in prison. Okay? But that's where he's supposed to be. And that's what he's doing. That's what we would be promoting. That's what we would be supporting by your presence there. And so see him. He'll be here tonight. Or you can give him a phone call or an email. I've got that information. You can see me after the service. Monthly book study. Search the Scriptures. Okay. Tonight we have our dinner discussion over Mark 15 and 16. And then we also have the new material available. And we're going to, back to the Old Testament. It's been a while since we've been in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 5 and 6. The promises and the reminders about following God into the promised land. The principles that would guide them as they occupied the promised land. The things that will help reinforce those truths in our lives. Go ahead and get involved in that. It's a short reading. 6, 7, 8 minutes it'll take you to read that. Some questions. And then meet with us in a month. And tell us what God's done in your life through that. We'd love to have that. Camp. Camp is coming, summer camp, and I haven't mentioned it up here. I've mentioned it in the youth services, but parents, they may not be passing on the information to you. Camp is going to be at Pensacola Christian College. It's called Teen Camp Extreme, and Brother Shane Lewis is going to be preaching that week. Of course, you know Brother Shane from Founders Conference and from other times that he's been here, so the preaching is going to be fantastic. Their activities really are top-notch. It's different for us. We're not going to be doing Crossroads this year, so it's a little bit, well, it's a big change. But I want our young people involved. The cost is still very, very reasonable. And it's more reasonable if they'll register within the next 2 weeks on April the 15th, okay? And we can remember that day. On April the 15th, the price goes up $25. So make sure, and I've got the information. You register online. You register online. I can help you do that if you'd like. But you can do that very easily at home. I've explained that to the kids, and I'll explain that to you how to do that if you'll see me after. But teen camp is coming up, and this Saturday, teens will be meeting here at 9 o'clock. We're going to go to Miss Anita Boyd's house, and we're going to crash her house for a little while and do some cleanup, do some yard work, do some things for her that she needs done around the house. She's been dealing with a tough time as it is, and she's been working out there in that yard and getting things done. I said, stop, don't do that, let us do it, but she won't stop, and it's probably good. She probably enjoys it a little bit getting out, and I know she stayed busy. But 9 o'clock this Saturday, we'll leave here. I'll feed the kids lunch, so we'll have that taken care of. Last announcement. Okay, sorry, Jenny, she's having to interpret through all of this as well. We need more folks that can launder the Easter costumes, the costumes that we used for our Easter musical last week. We still have several of those remaining. Miss Lois Christian will be right over here at this doorway. How many more do we have, Miss Lois? 15 or 20 bags. All righty. So we need lots of folks. We need lots of folks that can take those home. Just take them home, wash them, bring them back. It'll spare us a ton of a cost. If we had those dry cleaned or something, it would be terribly expensive. So we'd appreciate you doing that. And Brother Herb Christian wanted me to mention that today, or yesterday, was Miss Lois, it was her birthday. He told me, now hang on, he told me to embarrass you. He told me your age, and then he said embarrass her. I told him I wouldn't, but I changed my mind. Any woman ought to be embarrassed that marries a man 20 years older than she is.
Wow. How do you follow that? Page 139. You can remain seated if you'll sing it. Choir, let's sing. 139.
Great is thy name.
how it's on. Amazing, isn't it, what a little switch will do? That's true of a kid. It's true of a kid too. At least my mom felt that way about it. These are great days. I was thinking about the summer is coming. People are telling me goodbye. We'll see you next fall. And the snowbirds are flying back north. And I, with them, whenever they go back north, they take their money with them, you know. And so we're coming to the offering. Of course, people ask me about that. Whenever people who don't experience the snowbird thing, they say, now, where do the people give? Do they give back? Do they send their money back to the church up north, or do they keep their money here? And whenever they're up north, do they send it back here, or do they just give where they are? I said, well, what they do is, whenever they're up north, they tell the preacher, we give our money down to the south. And whenever they're down here, they tell the preacher down here, we give our money up north. And they don't give either place. No, that's not true. I think they all give both places all year round. Now, see, I've got to make up with the snowbirds. Okay, all right, okay. Oh, well, I was thinking about this summer, and I was thinking about Voice of the Victory Tour, and I got tired just thinking about it. And, tomorrow morning, Jim Crawford, right here, Jim Crawford, going to have, right here on second row, going to have open heart surgery in the morning. Already got him banded. You know, there he got the wrist band on him till, whenever he goes in the morning, they just take that little wand and go, doot, and say, up there. We got the right knife for you. But it'll be okay. We've had prayer, and I'll be driving tomorrow again to Atlanta, a little preacher's meeting this week, but to a funeral last week. But I want you to pray for Jim. How many of you will pray for Jim Crawford in the morning as he goes to surgery? Jim, I want you to kind of look around. Hold up your hands, man, and let him see. We're going to be praying for you in the morning, Jim. Just God will bless you and help you. Sharon, I want you to know we're going to be praying for you too. We'll be praying for you too. We'll be with you, and we'll keep up with that. Many other things going on. I've got so many things here. The Finers are celebrating 45 years. I don't know where John is right now. He's in the choir, I guess. Okay. But the Finers celebrating 49 years. Good to see Judy again today, out of surgery and back in church. She and Norm are right here. And Joan Coleman has a birthday. I'm not going to try to capitalize on what Aaron already said over here about Lois, but happy birthday to you. Daryl Scrimshire, 65 years old today. Where's Daryl? Over here. Yeah, 75? No, 65. Okay, 65. Okay. Ushers, come forward if you will. Yesterday was a marvelous service for Gary Moat and a number of folks trusted Christ as their Savior. And I talked to one lady after the service, and I said, "You trusted Christ as your Savior today?" She said, "Yes, I did. I got saved today." And she said, "You know, your testimony is a lot like my testimony." She said, "I joined church and got baptized whenever I was a kid because I thought that's what I was supposed to do." But she said, "I didn't get saved." But she said, "Today I trusted Christ as my Savior." And I thought, what a wonderful testimony. What a wonderful testimony. What a good thing that is. Well, the Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. The Lord is good. Tell it that others may know. Tell of his blessing. Tell of his love. Tell how he's coming from heaven above. The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. Father, we thank you so much for your love to us. And we come to this time where hopefully, Lord, we've come today to recognize you as our Lord. and that you tell us what to do, and you're our boss. But Lord, we come to this time now where we recognize you as our God, and we worship you. And I pray, Lord, as we give today to you through your church that you instituted and left here on earth to carry out your work, I pray, Lord, that we'll truly have a heart of worship as we do this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Peter all over again.
That's good. That's good. I love that song. And beautifully done. Makes me want to sing, "When We've Been There 10,000 Years, Bright Shining as the Sun." We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Oh, wow. Wow. Beautiful. But let's sing this. Let's stand together, if you will, and let's sing, "I'm So Glad I'm a Part of the Family of God." It's there in your bulletin if you need the words to it. The words are there in the bulletin. But sing it with me now. "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain. I'm fine as blood. Joy is between us as we travel this song. We say brother and sister round here. That's because we're a family, and these folks are so dear. When one has a problem, we all shed a tear and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. And I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And I'm in the family, and I'm in the joy is with Jesus as we travel this long. For I'm part
I'm not going to do it. Let's have the instruments play and greet those around you. Shake hands with one another as the choir comes down. And I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joy there's with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm part of the family, the family of God. People said,
amen.
Amen. Yes. Wow. What a good day to be in God's house. You may be seated. This unusual duet this morning. But two good things are going to sing for us: hope and joy. So enjoy these things as they sing.
Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb.
Bible, if you will, in the book of John chapter 20. I want to say something very profound right now. It's been 1 week since last Sunday. And the time after the resurrection. The next week was quite a week. Jesus had met with them on that resurrection evening. He had spoken with them. He had miraculously appeared in the room with no door being opened, no access to the room. He simply appeared in the room. His entrance was unusual, to say the least. They had seen him, but they hadn't seen him since then. And they're talking about the fact that Mary had seen him, the disciples on the road to Emmaus had seen him, Peter and John had been to the tomb. By that time, I'm sure they'd all been to the tomb. They'd all gone out. And there was talk all over the city about what had taken place. But where is he? They have not seen him physically, with physical eyes. They've not seen him. I'm sure that though Thomas was not there that evening of the resurrection, he was not with the other disciples. Why, I don't know. But he wasn't there. He wasn't there. We'll look at some of that because the next week he is there. And that's the passage of Scripture we come to today. But they must have seen him at some time. And they must have said to him, Thomas, you missed it. You missed it. You always miss something when you miss church. You missed it, Thomas. Oh, you should have been there. The Lord was there. We were there together, and Jesus showed up. It's always good when Jesus shows up. And they said, Thomas, you've got to stay here with us. Because he'll show up again. I just somehow know that he's going to show up again. And so he's there with them, and he's made some pretty brash statements. He's made some statements that later probably he wished he had not made. But you know how it is whenever you're with a group of people and you really should have been there with them, but you weren't there with them. and they're telling you how wonderful it was and what you missed and everything like that. Sometimes you react in not a particularly good way. You say, well, that wasn't all that great. I know it wasn't. And you can say whatever you want to. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe a word of it. You can say whatever you want to. I don't care how many of you. Every one of you may have seen him, but I don't care. I don't believe it. I'm not going to take your word for it. Just because you say it doesn't mean I believe it. Now it's 1 week later. It's a week later. And sure enough, Jesus shows up. He shows up. He always does. He always does. We may not know when he's going to show up, but he'll show up. And we're going to learn something that they learned, and we ought to learn it because we know it already. They had to learn it. We ought to know it from this experience. He's already shown up. He's already with us all the time, though we may not be aware of it. They learned that. They had to learn that because they were accustomed to a physical presence of the Lord. But we ought to be able to recognize a spiritual presence of the Lord. In verse 24 of John chapter 20, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nail, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were with him. And Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless. I will not believe. Be not faithless, but be believing. But believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Number one, as we look at this encounter between Jesus and Thomas, 1 week later. If you're looking for a title to put on the CD, it's 1 week later. 1 week later. I want you to see the belligerent statement of Thomas. Thomas' belligerent statement. Can you imagine him saying this? This is a horrible statement. It's not just a statement of unbelief. It's a statement that's aggressive. It's aggressive unbelief. Now, this is a disciple. Now, he didn't betray the Lord. Judas did that. But here is the man we call Doubting Thomas. He says, except I see the print in his hands, a nail print. I got to see that. I don't really want to see it. I want to put my finger in it. I want to put my finger in that nail print. If he is looking at a physical person, does he not have any concept of how that would hurt? And except I thrust, what a word to use, thrust my hand into his side, if you're expecting a physical person who has these physical wounds in his body, can you imagine saying such a thing? It's not just, you know, I'd really, if you say really, Simon, I just don't think I can believe unless I see that, you know. Okay, I can, but to say, put my finger in the nail print and thrust my hand in his side, that's a belligerent statement. That's an aggressive statement. Oh, I want us to be careful as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be sure your brain is running before you put your mouth in gear. Heard a fellow say one time, he said, people say, think before you speak. He said, I didn't have any idea what I was going to say until I heard it coming out of my mouth. And a lot of us are like that. Just blew it up. And here Thomas is such a terrible, terrible statement. Sometimes we make similar foolish statements about spiritual things and about God. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if God doesn't do this, I just don't want to have anything to do with him. Don't say that. He may say, if you're going to act like that, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Don't forget. He's the God. He doesn't have to do what we say. He doesn't have to operate according to our standards. Well, I want to tell you one thing right now. If there's a God, why would he allow such and such to go on? Be careful about that. Be careful about that. What you're saying is, I would be a better God than he is. I'd do a better job at being God than he does. You don't want to say things like that. Think. Think. As the fellow said, think. It may be a new experience. Think. We foolishly ask for unscriptural things. Not only unscriptural things, we ask for unspiritual things. Be careful. Be careful. If you've made statements like that, I would suggest, honestly, that you take a moment even right now and just say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for that. I had no business saying that kind of thing. You say, well, God understands. Yeah, I know he understands. More than you want to know, he understands. And we're going to see that in just a moment. Verse 25, the statement that he makes, I imagine even Peter is kind of astounded at the statement Thomas makes here. I can imagine John reacting and, oh, Thomas, don't say that. Don't say something like that. A belligerent statement. I've heard statements made that sometimes I've even said, I don't believe I'd say that. I don't believe I'd make that comment. I don't believe I'd do that. Not only Thomas' belligerent statement, but I want you to look at in verse 26. In verse 26, I want you to see his bewildered situation. Now, if you make dumb statements, you're probably inevitably going to find yourself in a situation where you say, that wasn't the smartest thing I ever did. So here they are. It seems from the context of the scripture and the way it's presented that they're probably still in the same room they were a week earlier. I don't know whether they've gone various places, met together back again, or whether they have been there together the whole time. Somehow I think they may have just, without knowing what to do, just stayed there. But there's nothing in the Bible that says that. But it seems like that may be what they would have done, that they just kind of stayed there and hung around with each other and maybe gone out and gotten food and the necessities of life and everything like that and just gathered together every day or whatever. And so here they are again, 8 days, Sunday to Sunday, eighth day. On the eighth day, here they are again. First day of the week, they're back together. And then they're, I don't know what they're doing, but Thomas is with them. They must have said, Thomas, you've got to be here. He'll come back. I know he'll come back. I know he'll come see us. You've got to be here. Thomas says, okay, but I'll tell you what, right now. And he makes his dumb statement. And all of a sudden, they're there in the closed room, just like they were before. Doors are locked. Everything's closed up. They're in there, and they're together. And all of a sudden, as they're there talking, Jesus appears. Now, there's some people sit in a situation like this and say, wow, I wish that had happened right now. Really? Let's see what happened. See whether that's what you want to happen or not. Closed room, doors closed, Jesus appears. Now, the first thing he says to the entire group, peace. Peace be unto you. And then it's very obvious that this is not just a general meeting for everyone. It becomes very one-on-one. Because the next thing he says is, Thomas. Can you imagine? Now, you want him to appear right here, right now? What if he appears right here, right now, and in front of everybody calls your name? And he calls you out on that dumb thing you said. Thomas? Now, Thomas knows there's none of them. None of them have seen him since last Sunday. None of them have seen him. They have not been with him. They have not talked with him. He knows that because if they had, they'd be bragging about it. They haven't seen him. They haven't encountered him. They haven't talked with him. But whenever Jesus appears, he says, Thomas, you really want to do this? Is this really what you want to do? Come on. Come on. Now, Thomas had to about faint. How does he know? Sometimes, after a preacher preaches, somebody will come up and say, who told you? Who told you? Nobody told me. But he called you out. And he calls Thomas out. He says, Thomas, come on, you really want to do this? Put your finger in the nail prints. Come on, put your finger in there quick. Thrust. He uses the same words. The same words that Thomas used. Thrust your hand into my side. Is that what you want to do? Is that really what you want? Thomas had to rethink a little bit what he had to say. Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand. Thrust it into my side. Whenever Jesus called to Thomas, he didn't say, Thomas, where were you last week? Wasn't that at all. Missed you last Sunday. Where were you? No, it wasn't that. But whenever he said, reach hither thy finger, thrust your hand in my side, Thomas knew he knew where he was last Sunday. Fact is, Thomas knew that he knew what he said last Sunday. Fact is, Thomas must have gotten the idea that he knows where I am all the time. He knows what I'm saying all the time. He must even know what I'm thinking all the time. He knows. He knows. Well, dearly beloved, it's a wonderful thing whenever we sing the song, My Jesus Knows. When I am lonely, He understands, He sees each tear. My Jesus knows. Oh, yeah, He knows those things. But He knows other things too. He knows those things that you hope no one knows. He knows. He knows. You can be sure that He knows. And whenever it became very evident to Thomas that He knows, there must have been some kind of burning sorrow in his heart. He knows. Now I want you to know today, wherever you are, whatever's going on in your life, He knows and He cares. I think I saw Erica here today and service yesterday for Gary. She's here in church today. He knows about that. Vicky's not able to be here with Steve today. Had surgery, emergency surgery last Sunday. Not able to be here today. Steve here. Others of you in similar situations. Similar situation. Jim, He knows. He knows what's going on tomorrow. He knows what's going on. Whenever I pray for things like that, I pray for the Lord to give doctors good rest tonight. I pray they won't be drunk when they get up in the morning. Try to operate on somebody who's never been out drinking the night before. What a terrible thing. They'll have to go through a breath analyzer like pilots have to go through before they get in fly airplane. But He knows. But He knows other things too. And Thomas realized He knows all that. He knows all that. And there had to be something in his heart that said, oh, because the next thing out of his mouth is not something belligerent. I mean, the Lord said to him, is that what it's going to take for you to believe me? Is that what it's going to take? Then do that. I want you to believe. So here, do that. Go ahead, do that. Regardless of how it might be pain. And of course, I know the situation was different. But whatever, because the pain was over at the cross. But regardless of what it would cost, regardless of what it would look like, if that's what it takes for you to believe, okay, do that.
because I do not want you to be faithless. I want you to believe. What does it take for you to believe? Are you sure you want to say that? That, well, if this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened, then I would believe. It sounds like what the people had cried at the cross just days before, just 10 days before. At the cross they had cried, come down from the cross, come down from the cross if you're the Son of God. Come down from the cross and we'll believe you. What a dumb thing to ask for. Oh, God, if you'll do this, and I'll tell you one thing right now. I'm not going to believe him. I'm not going to believe a thing about it. I don't believe that unless such and such and such and such and so and so and so and so. Unless this happens and this happens and this happens. Oh, really? Be not faithless, but believing. And whenever Jesus said, whenever Jesus called him out and said, okay, is that what you want? All right, come on. Come on. Put your finger right there. Right there's the nail print. Right there's the nail print. Here. Here's where the spear went in my side. Go ahead. Thrust your hand in there like that soldier thrust that spear. We come to the third thing. And that's Thomas. Thomas's believing submission. His belligerent statement. His bewildering situation. And now his believing submission. Verse 28. Thomas answering said unto him. Now it's interesting that he did not do that he said he would have to do to believe. So what does that tell you? It tells you that his statement was just a belligerent statement. It was just an aggressive, stupid statement. Unless I do that, well, whenever it came to it, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. Whenever the Lord called him out on it, he said two things. And I was so impressed with it, even the Lord brought it to my mind as I was praying for the offering today. First of all, he said, my Lord. Whenever he said, my Lord, what he was saying was, this is the same one I walked with. I recognize him for who he is. He's the same one. It is this same Jesus. It's the same one I walked with. It's the same one I followed for 3.5 years. It's this same Jesus. My Lord. Whenever he said that, he's also saying, you're my boss. You're my boss. You're the one who tells me what to do. You're my commander. You're my master. You're my instructor. You're my guide. I'm the follower. You're the leader. You're the teacher. I'm the learner. You're the master. I'm the worker. I'm the servant, my Lord. Will you come into an encounter with him to where you really say to him, my Lord? The statement, my Lord, has to do with your walk and with your work. My Lord. Now, Jesus said to many people, he said, you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not the things that I say unto you. And many times we use the term without meaning what the word means. We call him Lord simply as a term to which we refer to him without even meaning. You're my boss. You're the one who tells me what to do. You're the one who teaches and instructs me and who guides my step and tells me where to go and what to do and how to act and what to say and how to behave and where you want me to work and how you want me to work. My Lord! My Lord! It's no longer my ideas and what I want to do and doing it my way. I'm going to do your way. You are my Lord. And I may not understand why it's to be done that way. I may not even agree with why it's to be done that way. But if that's what you say, that's what I'm going to do. Because though I may not understand the way, I know that you do. And you are my Lord. You're not just the Lord. You're not just our Lord. You're my Lord. But he didn't stop there. He said, my Lord and my God. Some people want to argue with us and say negative things about us who say that Jesus is our God. Thomas said that. He said, my God, you're the one I worship. You are the one to whom I bring offerings. You are the one for whom I make sacrifices. You are my God. Now, it's an amazing thing that here, out of the mouth of the belligerent Thomas, out of his mouth comes the first definitive statement of the deity of Christ after the resurrection. Now, we do not know that it was the first statement made. It's the first recorded statement of the deity of Christ after the resurrection, where he really sees clearly that the Lord he walked with for 3.5 years is my Lord. Not only my Lord, he's my God. Now I want you to know it's significant that Jesus did not say, no, you've gone a step too far there. He did not rebuke him at all for saying that. He accepted the designation of deity with no rebuke whatsoever. Again, he is either God or he's a deceiver. Because he accepted worship as God. My Lord. And my God. What an amazing statement. It's an amazing statement that a few days before he can say, I won't believe unless I can put my finger in the nail prints in his hand, thrust my hand, I won't believe. My Lord, my God. Now, I don't know where you've been. I don't know what your attitude is. I don't know what kind of statement you've made. I don't kind of things that come out of your mouth or across through your mind. But oh, that today, all of us, 1 week later, would say to Jesus Christ, my Lord. That determines our work and our walk. And my God, that determines our worship. Now, I want you to see Thomas's blessedness surpassed. His blessedness surpassed. Oh, was he blessed in that? Oh, yeah, he was blessed in that. What a wonderful thing took place right there
in the presence of all the others around there, this one-on-one encounter. It was a very public encounter, I might say. It was not a private encounter. It was a very public encounter. One-on-one, but very public. Verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I'm one of those. I'm one of those. I've never traveled far around the world. I've never seen the many thrills and sights unfurled. But I have taken the journey of journeys for me up Calvary's mountain. There my Savior to see. I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary through the witness. This is how I've been there. Through the witness of His Word. Each day at Calvary, what a thrill of joy divine. Just to know that the Savior is mine. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this. We walk by faith and not by sight. But you see, walking by faith is no less real than walking by sight. It's just in a different realm. It's not in the physical realm. It's in the spiritual realm. Some people say to me, is that real or is that spiritual? Oh, that's the wrong question. The question, is that physical? Or is it spiritual? Because physical things are real sometimes, unless they're photoshopped. Ah. But spiritual things are real. Perhaps more real than physical things. Through the witness of His Word. That's not true because it's in a song. The song's true because it's based on scriptural principles. So then whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So whenever I say, God, if you'll do this, then I'll believe you. If you'll do this, and I'll believe you. I want to see this happen, God, and I'll believe you. Then what you're asking is for sin. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So you're asking God to indulge your sin. And if He will indulge your sin, then you'll believe. That's ridiculous. Do you believe? Can you say, my Lord and my God? 1 week later. 1 week later,
or 2,000 years later, can you say and will you say, my Lord, my God? Let's stand together. Before we pray, I'm going to ask you that if today you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or if you're not real sure that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to simply move from your place. I'm going to walk down here to the front. And I want you to come to me and just simply say, I'm not sure. That's all you have to say. I'm not sure. And we'll have somebody show you the witness of His Word. The witness of His Word. If you're here and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, how long has it been, or have you ever really come to the place to say, all right, Lord, you're the boss. You're the boss. You're my Lord. You're my Lord. You're my instructor. You're my guide. You're my boss. Now, He is the Lord. And you call Him Lord. We talk about, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. But it's different than saying, my Lord, you're my boss. Lord, I will do what you tell me to do. You're the master, I'm the servant. I will do what you tell me to do. And you're my I don't know how your heart is beating right now. And I don't know what thoughts are in your mind. But I would to God that we would come to that point of that surrender, that believing surrender to my Lord and my God. If you're not sure you're saved, just come say, I'm not sure about that. That's just an honest statement. Let us help you. Let us help you. If you're here and you need to surrender to the Lord, surrender to Him. Surrender where you're standing. Walk down here to the front. Kneel here. Sit on the front row. Whatever. Some physical movement that indicates a permanence of that spiritual decision. Jesus dealt with Thomas right in front of everybody. Right in front of everybody. Maybe somebody here this morning, God spoke to you about becoming part of this church and joining in this fellowship and becoming part of this place. We say it like this, make a home place your place. You say, we have to do that to go to heaven? Well, I've missed everything that I've said if you got that out of it. Not at all. But it's just a matter of doing what the Lord wants you to do. That's your work, for your worship. But if you're not sure that if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven, why don't you just come say, I'm not sure. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm going to walk down to the front. The instruments are going to play, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. I wait just a moment. If God's spoken to your heart, will you come? Will you come right now? Will you come?
Thank you. You may be seated. You know, a lot of times we think, boy, I wish I'd been living back whenever Jesus was on earth. It'd been so easy to believe and follow him. I think about what Thomas went through that day, and I think, I believe I'll take now. I believe I'll take now. After all, this is the time God has given me to be alive, okay? So I'll just take now. I'll just take now. I hope you'll be back tonight. Thursday night, we're going through crowns for Christians, the five crowns that are mentioned distinctively in the Word of God as crowns for Christians. And we're looking, first of all, at the incorruptible crown from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And then we'll move on through the others. It won't take very long to do this, but I think it's an encouraging study from the Word of God for all of us. Tonight, we'll be back in church tonight. Special music, choir is going to sing, all that kind of thing. Remember all the announcements? Singing what?
Practice at 4:30.
Practice at 4:30. Okay. Voices of Victory are going to practice tonight. We're pretty well back into the routine now, at least for a week or two. I don't know. I want you to meet some dear folks here that God's led here to be with us today. And they are here in the area down at the large, thriving metropolis of DeBary. Stand here with me, if you will. This is Kevin and Laura.
Bouchard.
I want to say K instead of a shit. Okay. Bouchard. And they come today to be part of our fellowship here. Kevin, do you believe Jesus died on the cross for you?
I do.
And are you trusting Jesus as your Savior?
My only hope is Jesus.
Amen. I mean, I believe he's a pretty steadfast hope. Yes, sir. You followed the Lord in believers' baptism since your salvation? Okay. And Laura, how about you? You've trusted Christ as your Savior?
Absolutely.
And have you followed the Lord in baptism since your salvation?
Yes.
And they're coming to join with us today to be part of this fellowship here. And they've been coming here for a while, but they played a trick on me. This is what they did. They had sat over here, and then they'd sit here, and then they'd sit here, and back here. But I spotted them this morning. And so it's good to have them. Good to have them coming to be with us here. If you rejoice to receive them, would you let them know it by saying a good warm amen?
Amen.
And we do rejoice with them. And we say welcome to this family.
Welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to this family of God. We're your brothers, we're your sisters. Come on in. Welcome to this family of God.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together. And if you're visiting with us today, we'd love to have you take just a few minutes and come by the reception for our visitors today. If you have a visitor with you, bring them by. I met some folks earlier this morning that are visiting with us today, and I'd love to have you come by, meet some of the other people, meet other staff. I say goodbye for just a few minutes. I take just a few minutes and say goodbye to the folks on live stream. But I want you to come by and shake hands with Kevin and Laura. You got those names? What's the first? Okay, Kevin and Laura, okay. Now, they've remembered your name, so you're going to have to remember all their names. And so come by and greet them. I hope you'll be back tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed. ever taught that piano. Put me on. All right. Thank you so much for being with us today. I'm delighted you've been here in the service, and you see the people are enjoying the fellowship time and enjoying each other and shaking hands with Kevin and Laura, welcoming them into our church, piano playing, all the music going on. It's just a wonderful time, before the service, after the service, during the service. I hope you enjoy it every bit there at home or wherever you may be. A lot of our folks, when they're traveling, watch the service and participate in the service in a hotel room or somewhere like that. But we're just glad you've been with us today, and I encourage you to stay with Thomas, my Lord and my God. And I hope you'll be back with us tonight. Always good to have you. We're delighted we can greet you and be with you by way of live stream. And I hope you have a good day, and may God bless you. Any way we can be a blessing to you, feel free to contact us. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.